Nick. And you find it, say amen.
Amen.
I want to read to you the latter part of Romans 8, beginning at the 31st verse. Romans 8, 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. May the Lord have his blessing to read. Again, Father, we'd ask you, Lord, that you just look down upon us here, Father, and find us empty. But fill us, O God, with the word that you have. We ask you, Lord, just to bring forth the message here this morning that we need. But most of all, Lord, we pray that each of us, we would hear what the Spirit will hear, what the Spirit has to say to us. We ask you, Father, just to be with us here this morning, all of us. Touch us each one as we need. In the name of Jesus, we ask you. And amen. The reading in here of the word, if God be for us, who can be against us? Well, you know, in this present day that we're living in, it would just seem that every place you turn, every time you turn around, you find that there's oppression against the Christian. That they're trying to stop God. In everything that we do, it just little by little by little, they're trying to take God out of everything. And it was a question there this morning in our Sunday school class as to why these changes have taken place with people. But today there is very, very few people who actually believe in God. All you do is look down your nose and you say, well, that's not true. It is true. People who actually, fully believe there is God. Yes, they'll say, my God this, my God that, and you hear that everywhere you go. But my God is self. My God is me. And when we speak of an almighty, scientists would love to get rid of it. They would love to make us think that God had nothing to do with the creation of this earth. And the stars that are all out there, every day you read something that they're discovering this, that, and the other, that it only verifies what the Bible says. But it just seems like on every hand you're opposed. The Christian is constantly being put down. Little by little. Oh, when I was a child, if you walked through our little old town of Wallace down there, on a Sunday morning, you would not hear anything. Quiet. You'd hear the church bells ring, and you'd see the people come out of their house and then start to gather together in the churches. Those who did not attend church stayed inside their house. And yes, they slept or whatever they did. But they weren't out working. They weren't out doing business as usual, making all kinds of racket, whatever commotion around over the queen. They were not. What's changed? You see, those people, at that time, they might have believed there, yes, God is there. They might have believed it. They might have. But they didn't practice it. If you don't practice religion, if you don't practice your belief in God, you don't believe it. That's a catchy hook to home, man. Yes. Though you won't talk to anybody. You go out here and you speak to anybody. You believe in God? Well, sure, I believe in God. Baloney. They don't. He says, if God be for us, who can be? How can these people, how can they go against God? Oh, but just a short time. Yes. You can look around and see things that's happened back maybe during your life. You see somebody that has went against God, openly denied Him, one thing or another, and seemingly got away with it through sin, corruption, stealing, lying, falseness. You can see and openly defy God. And you look on a situation and you wonder, Lord, how do they get away with that, you know? Well, you just follow it down just a little bit further. And right on down the road, someplace along the line, there is a penalty to be paid. They paid the price. Yes, some of these people, like I say, back in times past, when they didn't get up on Sunday morning, go out to church. They slept in. The old man did. Maybe the wife would go up to church and take the kids or something like that. Yes. And he thought, I'm getting away with it. Yes. I relax. I'm going to take it. I work all week. You know, I work hard. I'm going to sleep in this morning. I'm going to rest. Yeah. I'm going to do that. And seemingly, to the world around, he got away with it. But then on down the road, way someplace along the line, the kid starts getting unruly, and they start going out, and they start doing this and that and the other thing, and going off the deep end, and getting into all kinds of trouble. And Pap will say, I wonder what happened to them kids. We didn't teach them that way. Paying the penalty. The Bible tells me that your sin will find you out. Yes. We think sometimes that we can get away with this or that or the other thing, but eventually you'll pay the price. If we don't fall upon our knees in true repentance and say, Lord, forgive me for what I have done. Who can be against us? Can anybody be against us? No way. The Christians are being persecuted today, as was mentioned there in Sunday school this morning, what we're allowed to do, what we're not allowed to do. The law says this and that and the other thing. You're not to question this, or you're not to do that, or the other thing. As it says here, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh, who also maketh intercession for us. Yes, there's not any of us that doesn't fail. There's not one of us here that won't fail today. There's not one of us that won't commit a sin today. Thanks be to God, Jesus Christ sits on the right hand of the Father to make intercession for you. You cannot petition God. You cannot bargain with God. You cannot say, Lord, yes, if you'll do this, I'll do that. That's quite a thing, you know, we all love to do, don't we? We cannot bargain with God. We can't. Matter of fact, we can't even approach God. The only way we can approach God is through Jesus Christ. He takes us through to the throne.
Yes.
He takes us through. If it wasn't for Christ taking us through, we're lost. So without Jesus Christ in our life, we're lost. Without depending upon Him, without calling out to Jesus to take us through to the Father, He doesn't hear us. There's people that go around saying, oh, God. You might first of all say, Jesus, are you with me? Take me through to the Father. Yes. In times of emergency, Cindy, when cars are sliding at you, when you're out of control, you don't know what's going to happen next. I've heard my wife, when we'd be going down the road and something would happen real out of the way, you know, she'd holler, Jesus! Just like that, Jesus! Ceased. Just like that. He came upon the scene and He made things smooth. He cut that car straightened out and whatever needed to be done, we don't know. His will. Just quick. Jesus. You see, you don't go to God. You go to Jesus. You go to Jesus. Because He's the one that takes it through to the power that can turn that car around. That can make these things straight. Whatever it is. Yes. There have been times that things have happened that was just completely supernatural. I heard John Hagee tell the story. You probably have too. Whether it's true or whether it's not, I hope it is. If he was lying about it, he's in trouble. But someone came into the sanctuary where it was at and walked up within just a few feet of him, took a pistol and fired 5 shots at him. Every shot missed. Just missed him. Just happened, didn't it? No, these things happen. You can probably, in your own lifetime, you can remember when something happened that was completely supernatural. Completely. When you were helped by the Almighty, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? Wow. Who can be against us? Nobody can be against us. Well, who shall separate us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Don't think so. Distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? None of these things can separate us from the love of Christ. Yes, it can make life difficult. It can make us sometimes wonder. You know, I was thinking, I shouldn't think like that, but I do. Some of the things that have happened to people when they've lost loved ones tragically, when things have happened in their life that were a really, really tragic thing. Would I be able to continue to stand for Jesus Christ? would I? Could I go through some of the things that people have had to go through and still say, I love you, Jesus? Could I still stand in the pulpit and preach His word if one of these tragedies were to happen to me? Ask yourself that question. Could we really do it? Could we stand it? And I'll answer the question for you, no. Not on your own, you can't. You can't stand losing your husband. You can't stand that on your own. You can't stand some of these tragic things that come upon people's lives. You can't do it alone. But through Jesus Christ, we can make it. Nothing can separate us except us. We can turn our back. We can say, cry on our shoulder. We can get down on our prayer pity bones and say, Lord, you want to do this to me. And all these things. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. None of these things. Tribulation, we all have that. Distress, every day. Persecution, sometimes. Maybe not real great, but enough to staggerate you real good. Famine, ain't none. Well, from the looks of us, we ain't none of us going through a famine already. We might could use a little of that. Nakedness? Peril for sword. Sword? We haven't had to yet. Yet. Look out, folks. There's a religion in this country that's growing. Islam. They're right. Everybody else is wrong. If you don't believe the way they do, you should be killed. You think about that a minute. Fastest growing religion in the world right now. Time's coming when you won't have the privilege to sit in the seats as we are this morning. And we're allowed to sit here and enjoy what God has for us, to feel the goodness and the warmth, the friendliness of each other. Now, times are coming when that won't be. But I pray, and I'm almost certain, that before that time gets so bad, we'll be all right. But those that are left, those that are home this morning that decided to sleep in, those that said, oh, I believe in God, but don't practice it, don't teach it, don't live it, they're left. Yes, if this old building's a standing, these pews will be full. They'll be full. Try seeking to find that we have today. It's so easy to find. It's a choice. Who can separate it? Who can separate it from the love of God? We can do it real easy. We can do it. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principality, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Boy, that covers it all. That covers it all. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nobody can separate you from the love of Christ. Nothing can separate you. Except us. We can take a negative attitude. We can, as I said a while ago, how will I react? I don't know. I truly don't know. But through the love of Jesus Christ, if we keep Him in our heart, yes, we will survive. And yes, we will preach Jesus Christ, irregardless of what comes along, if
we keep him in our heart.
Or we can turn him off. And we can start feeling pity back. Pity party? Yeah, that's the word. For ourselves. And say, nobody can do this to me. You know, sometimes we, during our regular daily lives that we go through, little things can happen to us. You know? Yeah, we drop a dish. We smash a finger. Or we do some little thing. Well, why are you doing this to me? We just about lose it. And then we catch ourselves and we realize, whoa, here, get thee behind me, Satan. Yes. Thank you, Lord, that I've gotten that thumb left to hit again. For I didn't need that old dish anyhow. Yeah. Got a whole full of dishes. We can, you see, we love to stand up and say, Lord, I'm yours forever. What can separate us from Jesus Christ? Nothing can separate us if we want to stay faithful and true. You know, it's a short time between here and eternity. You turn around twice, and boy, I look back, you know, this seems like just yesterday when I was running around with a little red-headed boy down there in Wallace, this meaner than a rattlesnake, getting into all kinds of mischief. You name it, I was there. And I can see those old folks around there that lived in the neighborhood. And it just seems like yesterday. They're all gone. They're all gone. Even when I come up the Clarksburg area here and move down on Chubb Run, the people that lived there, the old folks that was there in the community was there, and you seen them just drop away, just one by one by one. They're just starting, just leaving. But when I come to your church, just what, 3.5 years ago, sitting in the pews with several people that have gone along. Time is so short. It just seems like it was yesterday. But you know, the amazing part of it is, as I look around, I see all these white heads and some that should be white today.
You see, looking at me.
If I pointed at me, I'm sorry. You know what I'm saying. Love you all. But as I see, as our congregation, we get older and older and older, we're going to be moving on. We're going to be moving on, and the younger folks I see coming in, praise the Lord for you. We're going to be taking over. We're going to be moving along. What can separate us? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate our children from the love of God. It's a big responsibility for we as elders in this church to pass this on to the young people, the music, to pass it on, the teaching, all of these things, every one of you have a part of it. But this church must live on until Jesus Christ says, come on home, church, it's over. Enough is enough is enough. It's time to come home. It's time for rest. It's time for peace. Nothing can separate us except ourselves. Father, we thank you and praise you. We praise you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy. We praise you, God, for allowing us, oh God, just to be a part of your family. And Lord, as we come to you this morning, we just ask, Father, that you look into the hearts of each and every one of us, oh God. Search us, oh God. Know our hearts. And Lord, if there's anything in there that's contrary to your holy will, take it away from us, Father. and make us holy like. Keep us, O Lord, where we need to be. Make us, Father, the leaders, teachers that we need to be. We ask you, Father, to be with our young peoples. And Lord, that you would touch them with that Spirit. But we know, Lord, that only the Holy Spirit, only the Holy Spirit can last in the lives of these young ones. Touch them, Father. And Lord, if there's one here this morning, Lord, that is not sure of where we stand, we ask, oh God, that you would just give them the courage just to get up out of their seats, our Father, and come forward and bow at this altar and renew the vows to thee. We ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. And amen. We stand and sing our hymn of invitation.